Now, very good evening to you, and thank you for coming to the school meeting. If you're not saved, this could be the most important night of your whole life. And so I want you to treat it that way, because when it comes to the gospel, it's certainly the most important message you will ever hear. And we look to God tonight that he might use the words that we're going to read together and the message that we have just to speak to your heart. That's God's a God of the heart, you see. And God wants to speak to your heart. And he can speak like no one else can speak. You know, sometimes people speak about the still small voice. In other words, a little voice that you can hear. And no one round about you can hear that voice. But God is speaking to you. Now let's see if God will speak to us through his word tonight as we're together. Now we're going to read a very famous passage, I suppose, in the Old Testament scriptures, in the prophecy of Isaiah. So almost near the middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 55. Now Isaiah was a remarkable man. He was a prophet from God. His job as a prophet was to take what God said and speak to the people. That's what prophets' jobs were. And some of them did it well, and the Bible tells us of some who were unfaithful and just said what they liked, really, or said what somebody else wanted them to say and didn't really say what God wanted them to say. So tonight we're going to read just a passage from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Isaiah, that God wanted his people of old to hear, and he wants us to hear too. So let's look, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. And here's what God says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now surely God will bless to us a short reading of the word of God. Now I don't know about you, but you know, as you grow older, what you probably realise is that there's loads of things that you would like to have done and you haven't done them yet. And it seems to be a thing today in our world that people have a bucket list. Now I don't have one, by the way. I'm a farmer, so I've got plenty of buckets, and usually they're full of things that you would rather not see. But I don't have a bucket list, but some people do, and they have a long list of things that they want to get done before they leave this world. And we have to be assured that each one of us are going to leave this world. But you know, I have seen quite a few bucket lists in my day, but I've never seen one that says somewhere in the list, I need to get saved. I need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And I suppose I need to say to you tonight, and really this is what the prophet Isaiah is saying as he speaks to the people so long ago, bringing the word of God, is there's nothing in this world more important than finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. There's nothing more important than having your sins dealt with and being ready to meet God. And so this evening, as we're together, we want to just see and to break up and just to think about what it is that the prophet Isaiah was saying as he spoke. Now he was speaking to a people long ago. He was speaking to a nation. But you know, God uses these words that he spoke to a nation to speak to individuals. Because really, nations are made up of individuals. And it takes individuals to come together. But also, God is a God of the individual. He definitely is a God of the nations. And he is one particular nation. But he is a God of the individual. And he wants to speak to each one of us tonight from his word. Now, I don't know if you've ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you haven't, then this is a special message for you tonight as we are together. And you'll notice right at the very beginning, one of the great things about the Bible is this, that it never misses the point. When God is speaking to us, he never misses the point. Now, sometimes we try to deflect the point, and when God is speaking to us, we try to get out of and to find excuses for not doing what God says we should do in these circumstances. But you'll notice what God does at the beginning in these little verses, and in my book, in my Bible, there is a little mark in the Bible which says this is a new paragraph, and really there's a breath here, and God is wanting to speak, and God wants people to hear. And here's what he says through the prophet Isaiah: "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord." Now, I suppose if you were to go out into the streets round about here, or any of the streets in the UK, or maybe even in other countries in the world, you would hardly find someone who would say this to you, sadly. Maybe when I was a boy, you might have found more people who would have said this to you in the street. I remember when I was walking along Princes Street when I was quite young, and there was a man with a sandwich board on. I don't know if you know what a sandwich board is. Basically, a bit of wood down one side of his body and another piece down the back and a strap over the top to hold it together. And on the front of the sandwich board was written, "I am God's fool." And when people were walking towards him, they were having a good old giggle at this man with his statement, "I am God's fool." But when they got to the back and they started to look backwards at what was on his sandwich board, the question was, "Whose fool are you?" And that is important that people get to understand. If we're not serving the Lord, if we're not serving God, then we're serving someone else. The Bible tells us that very clearly. There's never a situation in the Bible that tells us about sitting on the fence and that's where we should be. We should never be sitting on the fence. We should either accept one thing or we accept another. And God is asking you tonight. And God is speaking to you tonight through his word. And he wants you to accept his son as your saviour. He wants you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your saviour. And here's what he says: "Seek ye the Lord." Seek ye the Lord. Well, you might say to me, what about the other options? What about the alternatives that are out there in this world? Because there are other alternatives, and there's no doubt about that. People will suggest to you that you should seek this and seek that and seek the next thing. And many people in this world today are seeking after the things that are in this world. In other words, they're seeking after finance, money, or they're seeking after love, or they're seeking after something that this world holds. Whatever it might be. And you may well be saying to me tonight in your own heart of hearts, before the God of heaven, that's really true of me. I've been seeking after something in this world. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? "They that seek me shall find me, if they seek me with a true heart." That can't be said of everything in this world, you know. If you're seeking after money, I know plenty of people who have been seeking after money all their lives, and they get to the end of life's little journey, and they've never found it really. And there are folks in this world who are seeking after love, and they get to the end of life's journey, and they've never found it. Listen to the promise of God: "They that seek me, that seek me with all their heart, they shall find me." Remarkable, isn't it? Are you seeking after God? That's the desire of God tonight, that you and I should seek after him. Seek ye the Lord. Now that means earnest seeking. That means something from an earnest heart tonight. And that's what God requires of us all. But you'll notice the little statement, the little word that's in there, seek ye the Lord. And you know, we're quite good as people to divert that away from ourselves. You see, if it's an all-embracing thing, sometimes we sort of say, well, that really means that person over there, or these people over here, but it doesn't really mean me. But on this occasion, we can't really get out of it, because that's what God is saying to us. He's seeking to speak to our hearts as personal individuals tonight, that we should seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. But you know, the great thing about this statement, not only is it a personal thing, it's an inclusive thing. There is no one in this world that God is giving a different message to. That's beautiful, isn't it? You know, whether it be a rich person or a poor person, whether it be someone from this country or another country, whether it be someone who is down and out in the street, or whether it be someone who is on the throne of the land, it matters not. The message is the same to every single one of us. And so I need to inform you, to help you to understand tonight, that this message is for you as an individual. Seek ye the Lord. Well, you know, you say to yourself, well, why the Lord? Why is God saying this? Why is Isaiah bringing us this person? Well, you know, I don't know if you ever went to Sunday school, but when I was in Sunday school, they told us the account in Scripture of a man called Jonah. And Jonah was swallowed, says the Old Testament, by a great fish, says the New Testament, by a whale. And he was in the belly of the whale, and he understood something which is absolutely crucial to salvation. When he was in the belly of the whale, and here's what Jonah said, and I think it's a tremendous statement: salvation is of who? The Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And so Jonah understood something, and it seems like a silly wee story from the Bible, a wee story that you might have heard at Sunday school, you might see in a wee children's Bible book, but it's an absolutely profound statement that Jonah makes in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of the Lord. And the prophet here tells us, seek ye the Lord. No one else, because no one else has salvation for you. No one else can save you from the penalty of your sin. You see, Jonah was a remarkable person, but you know, in the end of his life, one of the things he did remarkably was, or the end of this, the story we hear in the Bible, he went and preached the gospel. But at this time, he was determined to get away from God. You know, people in this world often, maybe you're one of these people, you are determined to get away from God, really. And we're glad to see you tonight. We're glad you've come along. But it may be in your heart of hearts that you're really determined to get away from God. You know, I'm going to tell you, this preacher was exactly the same. When I was a youngster, my family, we all came to meetings just like this. But I was determined in my heart that when I got the opportunity to get away from it, I would never be back. But you know, God had a different viewpoint than me. Thankfully, I'm so glad that God had a different idea of things than I did, and he brought me to himself when I was just a young boy. I was only 10 when God put his hand upon me and spoke into a very young person's heart with understanding, that I may understand the gospel. And so the scripture says, and it's a beautiful statement, seek ye the Lord. But you'll notice, not only does it say seek ye the Lord, it says seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Now that, if it doesn't tell you something, that it certainly tells me something. That there is a point in time where the opportunity to seek after God will be gone. Now that's important today. Opportunity is important when it comes to salvation, that we grasp it with both hands, that we don't let the opportunity get past us, and we don't go out of the meeting today and say, well, we'll think about that another time. You know, the Bible tells us of a man in the scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures, in the book of the Acts, and he did exactly that. He heard the preaching of one of the greatest preachers that ever walked in this world, a man called the Apostle Paul, and he heard him preach, and he said, I'll hear you again some other time. And he walked out, and we have no record of that man ever getting a further opportunity to hear the gospel and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I think that's dangerous ground to be on. To walk out of a meeting like this, given the opportunity to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek after God, to seek after the Lord, while he may be found. This opportunity that you have at this moment in time may be the last opportunity that you have to find the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Treat it like that tonight. The last opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. But you'll notice not only does it say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, it also says, call ye upon him while he is near. And so there needs to be a response from us. Now, I don't know if you're the kind of person that responds easily. You know, when I was just quite young, not long after I was saved, I was in a gospel meeting in a little village called Portseaton on the east of Scotland, down below the Forth, just almost directly across from here on the south side of the river. And there was a man called Peter Brandon. He was a great preacher. Some of us know him here. And he was preaching. I'd never heard him preach before. And I was sitting in the meeting, and he appealed to the people in the meeting to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And sitting in the hall, there was a man, and he stood up and he shouted, Lord, save me, in the middle of the meeting. I nearly fell off the chair. You see, us in Scotland, we don't do things like that, do we, very often? Now, that's not to say that people don't respond to the gospel, but people don't often respond in that way to the gospel. Now, I was back in Portseaton Gospel Hall just not so long ago, and that very same man was sitting in a chair. He's an elderly man now, and he was sitting there. So not only did God save him that day, but God has kept him till this time. And he's looking forward to the glory when he's trusted, and he will go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says the preacher or the prophet on this occasion, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible tells us of a man called Bartimaeus, and he was blind, and he sat on the roadside begging, and the Lord Jesus was going past, and he called out, he knew that the opportunity was there for him, and it might be the last opportunity to get the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we want to speak to you, and we want to tell you about this one, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, who came out of heaven, the eternal Son of God, who came down here and died at Calvary's cross so that your sins might be taken away and my sins might be taken away. And all we need to do is receive him as our Saviour. Nothing else. We don't have to do any penance or anything like that. We don't have to spend any money. We don't have to do anything spectacular. God says, receive him. That's all. Take him personally as your Saviour. Acknowledge him, who he is, and accept him as Saviour and Lord. So we have to call upon him while he is near. Now, verse 7 tells us something a bit more detail of this event. And here's what it says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. And so the Bible tells us the purpose of salvation and the reason that we need to do something about it. Because it tells us here, we are wicked. Now you say, wait a minute, Mr. Preacher, you're just stepping over the mark here. Now, I need to say, it's not the preacher that's telling you you're wicked. You didn't know my heart. You didn't know anything about me before I was saved. You know, I thought I was all right. I was the youngest member of quite a big family. And I thought I was okay. I thought I was a nice person. And some other people might have thought I was a nice person. But God knew I was wicked, because God knows the heart. The great thing about God is this. He knows our heart. There's nothing you can hide from God. And so the preacher has to cover that. You know, it would be a dreadful thing in a gospel meeting or on an occasion like this where Isaiah is preaching to the people that he missed out the true nature of man's heart, of our hearts. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners and we need God's salvation. And so the prophet says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And you might say to me, well, you know, I'm not a bad person as far as what I do is concerned, but God doesn't just stop at what we do. He also brings us to our mind and to our thoughts and to our thinking. You see, it's not just our actions before God that are wicked, but our thoughts. Now we'll maybe hear more about thoughts in a minute or two, but we need to think about that tonight. We need to understand that God is looking down upon us, and he understands not only our way, he sees where we go, how we live, but he also knows our thoughts. Our thoughts. And then he says, and let him return unto the Lord. Now I don't know if you've been, how many meetings you've been to in the past, but if you've been to a few meetings in the past, it's likely you've heard one of the preachers talking about repentance. And repentance just means a change of mind which leads to a change of direction. That's what repentance is. And that's exactly what the prophet is speaking about here. He says, you know, he said to the people then, and God is saying to us now, we need to repent. And that's about changing our direction. Changing our direction. And let him return. You'll notice, that gives the impression that we're walking away from God. Let him return unto the Lord. And so I want to appeal to you tonight in the meeting to return unto the Lord. Now, you might be thinking in your heart, and there may well somebody has trying to put into your heart tonight, that if you come back to God, he's going to just unfold to you all your badness and tell you how dreadful you are and spitefully speak about your the kind of person you are. That's not what the prophet says now. There's some of the most beautiful words in Scripture we're just about to consider. And here's what it says, and it's absolutely beautiful to me. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. He will have mercy upon him. Isn't that beautiful? What is God going to do if you return? What is the Lord going to do with you if you return to him? You know, there's a lovely story in the New Testament, and it tells of a son who left home and went away. We call him the prodigal. And he went away to a far country and he lived a riotous life. And he did what he liked. And eventually, after a while, everything was going wrong. And he decided to get up and go back to his father. And you know, the father could quite easily have said to him, you've just been a rascal. I'm not having any more to do with you. But he didn't. father was watching out for him, saw him coming, and went and threw his arms round about him and kissed him, brought him in, and gave him everything that he needed. Remarkable event. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God tonight. I need to tell you about it. It's the most beautiful thing in all of the scripture. The picture of the heart of God. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God. And you'll notice the next statement's even more beautiful. And he will abundantly pardon. Now, he will pardon. If you just got a pardon, that would be great, wouldn't it? But you'll notice the type of words that are used in scripture to tell us about the heart of God and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, God's ability to pardon is like no one else. And he's willing to pardon and give you a pardon in totality. There is nothing that you have done that God can't pardon. And that's good, isn't it? And that's worthwhile, and that's of value, and that's something we need to take into consideration. And just for the last minute or two, just let's think. We were thinking about what our thoughts were like, you know, our unrighteous thoughts in the scripture. But God wants to tell us a wee bit about his thoughts. For my thoughts, says he, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God's thoughts. You know, before the world ever came into being, God was thinking about us. And you say, well, wait a minute, that must be some person. I need to tell you, he is some person. That God could think, before he ever created us, he could think of us in our need. And God loved us. The Bible tells us before the world ever came, was ever in being, that God loved. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And so God's thoughts are high thoughts. I need to ask you a wee question. What are your thoughts towards him? What are your thoughts towards him? Maybe tonight your thoughts are pretty dire towards God. I don't know. I certainly don't know, and you don't want me to know, and I don't really want to know. What I need to tell you is this, that God knows. God knows about your thoughts, but he tells us about his thoughts. He does say in scripture that he has thoughts for people, and they're not thoughts of awfulness, they're thoughts of mercy. Remarkable that, isn't it? That God should have that kind of thoughts towards us when our thoughts are so against him. And he says, my ways are not your ways. And he said, now, your ways are ways of sinfulness, but my ways are perfect, says the scripture. His ways are perfect. And then he tells us something about the distance between our thoughts and his thoughts in verse 9 as we finish. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now that's a measurement we can understand, isn't it? You know, I mean, I haven't the faintest idea, really, how far it is from the surface of the earth until you get out of the stellar heavens. It's a long way. And that's what God is telling us. Here's a wee measurement for you about thoughts. And about ways. My ways are so much higher. And God is interested in you. The God who has high thoughts is interested in you. How marvellous that is. How remarkable, how beautiful that God should be interested in you and me. So interested was he in us that he sent his own son out of heaven to bear our punishment at the cross of Calvary. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about Calvary. Calvary was a dire place. But, you know, God knew about Calvary before there was ever men in this world. If you go back through your scriptures, you'll find out about Calvary, way back to the very beginning of time. God speaks about a lamb that would be slain. And that lamb was his son. His own perfect son. One who was sinless and pure. And yet he died for the sins of the people. I wonder if he died for your sins. He only died for your sins, you know, if you'll accept it. If you'll accept the truth of that and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. It goes from being almost an inanimate thing, a thing which is beyond us, that he died for sins. But when we receive that for ourselves, he died for our sins, my sins. When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ at 10 years of age, that's all it took for me to put my faith and trust in him. And my sins were gone. And they would be remembered no more forever. Remarkable. And that could be yours tonight. Nothing more than just belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Will you do so for his name's sake? Shall we pray together?